Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
This is a tale of two coaches. It was a little odd to hear Bill Self and Chancellor Doug Girard talking about Self's new contract and how Girard had informed the NCAA he was doing the deal on the same day that Sean Miller is fired at Arizona. Both coaches under investigation, both coaches individually charged with a major violation, and both coaches' programs charged with five Level 1 violations. One coach is fired, the other receives a lifetime contract. Hey, we got to say this about Kansas and Arizona. At least these schools don't function in a gray area. Tiger Woods drove 85 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. He hit a tree going 75. He was accelerating the whole time and never hit the brakes. The police did not get a blood test or search his phone. He looked bad on TV the day before. He's had two prior car wrecks that were personally embarrassing. But nothing on this one? I can't figure it out. Can you? We just keep learning more about Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred from Georgia to Colorado. The latest? Groups affiliated with, LeBron James, Al Sharpton, and Stacey Abrams were threatening the commissioner that they were going to organize baseball players to boycott the All-Star Game in Georgia this summer. It's what Abrams really wanted to do, because it would have propelled her onto a massive stage. Now she's in really hot water because the game has left her state. This is ugly. But not as ugly as Biden buses. You heard of these? Since January 20th, 30,000 illegals have been loaded onto Biden buses and shipped to swing states to go live. You know why. This is un-American and cruel, as the stories of girls being raped on their journey just continue to break our hearts. And comedian Dave Chappelle, in a podcast interview, tells the real story of who left all those mean, hateful notes behind in the White House the day Trump and his staff arrived on day one. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Back9Development.com. Back9 is a custom builder. They're a licensed general contractor. They do commercial buildings, homes, room additions, you name it. Anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Back9 Development will work with you on your project. They're also offering up something really unique right now, the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. For a second home, for your college kids, as an investment property, they begin at $249 and up, upscale condominiums, 1 and 2 bedroom. If you'd like more information on this maintenance-free living with a pool, clubhouse, elevators, covered parking, very unique on the golf course at Colbert Hills, call TJ at Back9 Development today, 785-236-0161. There's no obligation. Call him and get the information, 236-0161, or log on to back9development.com. That's back, the numeral 9, development.com, and see them for yourselves. A lot of people are getting second homes right now, and a lot of people are using these as investment properties. Borrowing money is low. People have money with the markets up. A lot of people have actually made a lot more money because of COVID and had great years. It's time to put it into something really good, safe, and secure, like a second home investment at Back9Development.com's Solheim at Grand Mere. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, their customers say, we just make it easy. Right now at Roberts Robinson, they'll hook you up in any way you like. You just get online and you build your car. It's the best way to do it with any GM product through Roberts Robinson right now. They're having their 2020 sell down event. There are very few 2020s left at really low prices. Cash allowance on 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab is on right now. So if you'd like to build your own Chevy Silverado exactly like you like it, just get on with the folks at Roberts Robinson. Log on or call them, work with Tim or Mike or any of the guys there at Roberts Robinson and say, look, I'm looking for a new Silverado. I want it exactly this way. I want it black. I want these seats. I want the roof. I want this. You build it. They show you the price, the invoice price, and they take great care of you. It's the cheapest way to do it, and you get exactly what you want. Order it up through Roberts Robinson online at robertsrobinson.com. Chevrolet, find new roads. And Elite Automation and Elite Energy. Two separate companies. They basically have a consulting company at Elite, and they have a design and installation company as well. If you'd like to get a new system to control your HVAC that could save you thousands every month, Elite Automation will hook you up. You give them a call, they come out, you meet with them, you ask them what they can do. If you don't like it, you walk away. No problem. Scheduling the appointment's the easy part. You got nothing to lose. Make your building great again. Seriously, what's your building costing you every month? Elite can save you money. I promise they can. They also have a consulting operation called Elite Energy. This costs you nothing. They just come out and take a look at the way you operate, give you great advice, set you up on a new program of how to do things more efficiently. You save money on your energy costs, and you pass along part of those savings to Elite. That's how they make money. Very simple. EliteAutomate.com. 913-766-2188. Make your building great again with Elite Automation. All right, it's a tale of two coaches today on KKHI. Hit it!
Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
It's a tale of two coaches in college basketball. We begin today on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. And an interesting events happened this week between two basketball programs now in the offseason after the national championship game on Monday night. And that is the University of Arizona and the University of Kansas, which have sort of been attached and mirrored one another through the FBI investigation and then the subsequent NCAA investigations, and their head coaches under fire for level one violations. Both programs cited with five level one violations, including head coach infractions, and the University of Arizona on Wednesday decided to finally part ways with Sean Miller, and a lot of people have asked, how in the world did this take so long for Arizona to fire Sean Miller? Now, that has not been asked of Bill Self. Bill Self's been winning more games. And even though it's five level one violations, it does sort of seem that the circumstances and the things that transpired in Arizona were worse than Kansas. It looks that way. Now, I don't know if the NCAA looks at it that way or the independent resolution panel is going to look at it that way, because ultimately this third party is going to decide what happens at Arizona and at Kansas. But the big national story with all the college basketball writers, and this is interesting and important because we heard Bill Self talk about this on Wednesday, the national reaction here is, wow, look what happened with these two coaches on the same day. On the same day Sean Miller is fired, they're having a news conference at Kansas with a new athletic director, and Bill Self and Doug Girard, the president, are talking for the first time about Bill Self's lifetime contract that was signed and announced a few days ago. So it really is a tale of two programs and a tale of two coaches that are in very, very similar situations. And I just find it a very interesting process to follow. What I've noticed with all of these programs is each coach that's been in this trouble so far to this point, and the guy at LSU, is it's outrageous what happened at LSU and that he's still coaching. But I think theirs is coming, and I think he's coming. Ultimately, I believe this. I believe the NCAA has a mandate from Condoleezza Rice and her panel that we want to punish coaches more than schools. And if we can begin to punish coaches more than schools, we will clean the sport up. There's no reason to punish, I think in their mind, a chancellor or an AD or something, when a coach, clearly these coaches have autonomy over their programs. They control everything. In some cases, I think in the case with Kansas, in the athletic department, but certainly within the basketball program. And they have that. So here we were on a day where Sean Miller is fired, and the national reaction was, wow, what took so long? I mean, seriously, if you're looking at it, and here's what I would say to the Kansas fans that listen to this podcast. How do you view Sean Miller and what he's done, or Rick Pitino and what he did at Louisville, differently than how you view what Bill Self has done or is implicated in? And I think for most Kansas fans, there is a huge difference there, as there should be. You're a fan of a team. You think the other schools are worse. I get it. I don't have the answer. I don't know who did what was worse. All I know is Pitino got fired, the AD got fired, and the president got fired at Louisville. At Kansas, we've seen complete and utter turmoil, except for Bill Self staying. That's what we've seen. We've heard Bill Self say now that he can't recruit because of all this, that his recruiting is down because of the NCAA and the negative recruiting against him. I believe that to be true. Bill Self said yesterday, when asked about all this, that the chancellor explained the contract to the NCAA. So Doug Girard had to go out of, and again, this is, and Self said, look, I'm jumping ahead of myself. The first thing Self said was, I've had people send me stuff from a national perspective. There were some people that were really going after me, or that really got after me. That was a quote from Bill Self, and that's right. the national reaction to his lifetime contract, which isn't really a lifetime contract, it's a rollover contract. Kansas at any point can pay him for 1 year and terminate him. They cannot terminate him for this NCAA stuff that's going on. They can terminate him if he does something going forward. So it really isn't a lifetime contract. They can pay him 1 year and part ways. So he's right in that regard, and he defended it that way. But Bill Self told the media on Wednesday that the chancellor, Doug Girard, contacted the NCAA and told them what he was doing with Bill Self, as if to try to explain, look, I'm not trying to stick my middle finger up at you. I'm not trying to embarrass you in the middle of this investigation. I am not poking you with a stick. I want to let you know this has been going on for months. We've been talking to Bill Self about a new deal, and this one's just going to be a rollover contract. And it has different language in it. And I've not heard of this. Maybe it happens all the time. I've not heard of the chancellor of a university calling the NCAA while under investigation, explaining to the NCAA why he's giving his coach a new contract. I've never heard of that. I can't imagine the NCAA accepted whatever Doug Girard said with open arms. I just can't. But it clearly is a tale of two schools. So here's Sean Miller out at Arizona, and here's Bill Self saying, hey, listen, this is my chancellor's idea. This wasn't me. This wasn't my idea. He called the NCAA and said, I'm going to do this, and let them know. And Girard, for his part, said that the reaction nationwide was negative about the contract. Now, and we're going to get into the conversation of local versus national in a moment. The conversation nationally was, wow, what an embarrassment for Kansas. This is desperation on their part. This really is how desperate Kansas is to remain significant or a blue blood or be a player in college basketball. They'll do anything at this point. That was the national reaction. And Girard said, yes, it mostly came out that way. But we didn't want to put this on the new guy. So we've been on this contract for months. So he said, Girard said, we didn't want to put the contract on the new AD. I don't even understand this. And Girard several times in an interview didn't even mention the new AD. He just refers to him as the new guy. We didn't want to put this on the new guy. We don't want to put it on the new guy. Okay, so they've got a new guy, Travis Goff, who's the AD at Kansas. For his part, his introductory news conference was fine. Even members of the local media were like, wow, the softball's being tossed at him. But you know what? In fairness, what are you going to ask him about what's already transpired at Kansas? On what authority does Travis Goff walking in have any real say about the investigation, the scandal in the football program, the previous AD, what's going on, Bill Self signing his contract? It's not relevant. Travis Goff starts now. And Goff is accountable for what happens here going forward. And would it have been interesting to hear a bunch of questions asked about, hey, did you have to think about not taking the job because of this NCAA? No, Goff's job is very simple. He's never been an AD before, so it's a great opportunity. He's a young guy. I said this on the podcast earlier this week. He's coming in with a clean slate, and he's saying, I'm in this for the long haul. I know this could get really ugly. It could be really bad. We could have lean years with fundraising, ticket sales, all kinds of things here. I'm willing to be here and be the guy through the lean times as we have a new future, hoping that on the back end, things will be great and I'll be here and I'll be the Kansas AD and I'm very happy with this. And I respect the heck out of his decision to say, listen, I'll take the bad times. To me, it says a lot. It says, this is my dream job. This is a wonderful opportunity. I'll be the guy when times are tough if you give me a chance to be the guy when times are good. And that's what Travis Goff is signing up for. I respect that. That's rolling up your sleeves saying, I'm going to do it. What Jeff Long did, I'd never respected. He signed a contract that said, you're going to pay me more money if there's an NCAA investigation and we get in trouble. All right, he walked in the door saying, you're going to pay me more from previous sins before I was here. That's absurd. This guy's saying, I don't care what happened before. I'm starting with a clean slate. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and work, and I'm going to look for a better day. I'm going to work toward a better day with this department. I like that. And, you know, I don't know the local reaction to what's going on. It's always the same with Kansas. Any football coach they hire is going to win, and then they don't. Any AD they bring in is going to be great, and then he's not. It's the same thing. So this is the difference between local and national. I've always prided myself in, when I look at these schools or teams or things that are going on, stepping back away from what the local perspective is. And I'm not trying to be like a national guy, but just say, look, what would, I always say this, what are your thoughts about, you know, to Kansas fans, as I said before, what are your thoughts about what happened at Louisville with Rick Pitino or at Arizona with Sean Miller? Okay. Somebody who lives in Boise, Idaho, that follows college basketball closely thinks the exact same thing of Kansas. They look at them identically to Arizona and Louisville. Identically. They look at Bill Self the same way you look at Rick Pitino or Sean Miller. Again, I'm not telling you you're right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what people do. When I look at this, it's pretty clear Bill Self knew what was going on. We have plenty of evidence here. I think Bill Self's going to get suspended. I think it's going to be pretty massive penalties for Kansas. I don't know how long it will take. This is uncharted territory with the Independent Resolution Group. It's a third party of private firm law firms that are going to be the judge, basically, and say, here's what the penalties are. Then Kansas will get a chance to respond to them. There's going to be, I know you hear this term a lot, there's going to be like another notice of allegations coming. This third party is going to say, we accept the five that the NCAA gave us, or we're reducing it to three, or we have found more and want to make it six or seven, and they're going to hand that to Kansas, and that's like the final say. Kansas will get a chance to review. They'll get a chance to go to the NCAA and be heard, but it is final. Kansas' only recourse after this third-party panel says, here are the punishments, will be lawsuits. Bill Self's attorney, his private attorney, has said he's ready to sue the NCAA. They're ready to file lawsuits. Kansas has suggested they're ready to file lawsuits. So that won't stop the punishment from happening, I don't believe, but they're going to try to go file stuff in court and try to win it that way. Kansas is digging in more than anyone else. And I hate to keep using the word desperate, but there is no school in America, no athletic department, no school in America that is more closely tied, dependent, all their self-esteem, self-worth, everything that they are is tied to one sports program. That's the University of Kansas. And I know what the records say, and I know what the wins are, and I know all the things that have happened, but it still isn't Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, whatever. It's not as easy at Kansas. They're farther west. It's more remote. Kids don't wake up that live in Brooklyn or D.C. or whatever and say, boy, I got this dream to go to Lawrence and play basketball. They don't. There have clearly been enticements through the years with all of these coaches to get them here. I think we know what the order of business has been at Kansas. It's been a machine. It's been an absolute basketball factory and machine. If the way of doing business is shut down, what happens with Kansas basketball? And the way they want to fight the NCAA, where other schools didn't, the way they want to sign their coach to a rollover lifetime contract, whatever you want to call it, is something they did that other schools didn't. I can't think of a better word. To me, it's desperation. It's clinging to, we cannot lose our identity. Our identity is our basketball team. If we become Indiana, we won't even love our school anymore. We won't be able to sleep at night. We can't become Indiana or UCLA or one of these great basketball powerhouses that was rendered irrelevant and pours through coaches and hasn't been to Final Fours and all, you know, all this. Well, UCLA did, but hasn't done all this stuff. We can't be that school. We cannot allow that to happen. That's what this all says to me about Kansas. They will fight this every chance they get to be, and they have been forever. They've been the one program in college athletics for the last, what, 30 years, 30 plus years, that's never had a down year. They're in the tournament every year. They've won league titles. They've never, I mean, even Krzyzewski had a year where he had a back injury and they had an under 500 record and they missed the tournament. Roy Williams had a couple of bad years. Some things happened at North Carolina. Kansas has been the one program every single year. We know about their streak. We know about their conference title streak. We know about their NCAA tournament streak. We know all these things. They've been the one program that has never regressed. And they are kicking, fighting, tooth and nail to make sure that they are not going to regress. There is danger in that. And I've warned of this danger for the past 3 years, that as we look back now, it would have been better to accept whatever was dealt them. It would have been better to just accept it 3 years ago and say, great, suspend us, probation us, whatever. That would be over. Bill Self would be your coach and onward you go. Instead, they've kicked the can down the road. They've delayed the entire thing. And they haven't really won much while doing it. I think the miscalculation was Bill Self didn't know that his recruiting would fall off like it has because of the investigation. but it clearly has. Now he's losing coaches to Texas, right? So he's got some difficult things going on that he's never had to deal with at KU. I don't think they anticipated that. I don't think they thought it was going to start eroding while the investigation was going on. But it did, it has, and it did. The worst is still ahead. The worst could be behind them. You know, Louisville's worst is behind them. They bit the bullet. They canned everybody and moved on. Kansas wouldn't have had to fire Bill Self. There could have been all kinds of other scapegoats they could have fired and rebuilt, accepted the penalties, moved on, and said, here we go. They didn't. They're fighting it the whole way. I think they've watched other schools do that the other way. Watch it dip. Watch them miss tournaments. Watch coaches get fired or run off because now you're not winning. And it hasn't worked out for those schools. They've not. It's not been very pretty. Jim Boeheim on the other side of all of his scandals. Not real pretty. It's Syracuse, right? Arizona, I think, was thinking the same sort of thing. They might have been in a monetary bind on paying the coach off. I can't believe it took this long to get rid of Sean Miller, but he's gone. And it does look like they did a lot worse things at Arizona than Kansas. That's me, but the NCAA has said it's the same. It's 5 level 1 violations. They're pretty much the same violations. So Kansas and Arizona's cases are very, very similar. And in one place, a coach gets a lifetime contract. In another, they get fired. It will be fascinating 5 years from now to look back and see who made the right decisions and the wrong decisions. I can't tell you Kansas is doing it the wrong way. I can tell you that this has not worked out like they thought. They did not see the drop-off happening before the hammer was dropped. They didn't see that coming. They thought they were just going to sail away, and they may have. They may have won a national title last year if it wasn't for COVID. They were really, really good. I don't think they would have because they just generally don't, but they may have. Baylor won it this year, so it's doable, right? And Kansas has won one under Bill Self. So it's possible that could have happened last year, and it was unfortunate that COVID hit. But in hindsight, looking back, they'd have been better off just taking their medicine in the rearview mirror and having a better day today. Now the hammer's out in front of them, and we'll see what happens. I'm not comparing Arizona or Louisville and the wins and losses to Kansas. I'm just talking about the overall big picture. Did they do the right thing? Where is their program? Is their program back where it was? We'll see. I mean, Kentucky missed the tournament this year. We see all these other programs have these ebbs and flows and dips and things like that, and Kansas has not had that. And they are fighting every step of the way to make sure that they do not have that. And to me, more than anything else, it's just fascinating to watch these two programs on the same day, Bill Self, Doug Girard, talking about the New Deal and how the chancellor had to explain it to the NCAA that they were doing this with Bill Self on the same day that Sean Miller is whacked at Arizona. And look, there's a lot of opinion writers out there nationally that are blasting Kansas. Bill Self referenced that. Dennis Dodd's written a very thoughtful piece at CBSSports.com if you want to go read it. He's not a bomb thrower. He lives in Kansas City. He's somewhere on things like this to me. He's somewhere between a local writer and a national writer. He has the national perspective. He works for CBS. He's not beholden to Kansas. He's written a very thoughtful, interesting story on this topic, and I would encourage anyone to go to CBS Sports and check it out. Ultimately, what we're talking about is national perception versus local perception. And at this point, local perception, and really in my career, I don't really remember a time that local perception has turned on any team. The closest thing would be Missouri Athletics. I think it's probably tougher to coach at Missouri than it is even for the Royals or the Chiefs or whatever. I do. I think the journalism school has a lot to do with it. I think they like to hold people accountable for doing things the right way. They are in between Kansas City and St. Louis, so there's some big market influence there. But for whatever reason, I've always felt like Missouri has been treated differently by the local media than anyone else. Kansas State back in the day was just kind of outcast, like they didn't exist and not very important. But with Kansas and Missouri, Kansas was always treated with kid gloves. It was just powder puff stuff. And Missouri, it was always one little thing happened. A lot of these people were Missouri grads, went through journalism school, and they were taught, hey, listen, you know, if there's a sexual assault happening with a player or you've got this scandal or controversy or they're paying these kids out of Michigan or whatever, you're on that story and you don't let go of it. And it's real and it's serious and it shouldn't be happening. Missouri's always been the school that's been, in my opinion, treated that way with the media. And I think Kansas should be treated that way in this story, but you won't find much of it. Most of the local media are KU grads now or KU fans, and they're not interested in this. They're exceedingly liberal. What they will tell you when Kansas gets in trouble, I can already tell you what the feedback's going to be from the opinion people in the Kansas City market. They're liberal. Their response is going to be, this is outrageous that Kansas has been hit with this. Players should be able to get paid. That's what they will argue. They won't care what the rules were a few years ago when these things were happening or whether or not anybody followed the rules. They will. Their reaction will be, this is outrageous. These players should be paid. This is stupid. Kansas should be able to pay whatever they want to anybody they want to come here and play basketball. But remember, Kansas is part of the NCAA voluntarily. Nobody makes them be part of this. Nobody forces Kansas to be in the Big 12. Nobody forces them to be in the NCAA. They can go outside that, have their own minor league basketball team if they want. They can be part of the G League. University of Kansas can have a G League team if they want. That's what they want to do. They go hire players out of school, start their own thing. They can do whatever they want. But if they want the benefits of being in the NCAA, which are numerous, and they want the benefits of being in the Big 12, there are rules in place that you voluntarily subscribe to and other teams and schools are following, and you're cheating them. That's the only reason I get involved in this stuff. I feel like Kansas has cheated the Big 12 for a long time. I do. I think we know they've been playing players. I don't believe every school pays players. I believe there are others in the Big 12 that do or have. I believe there are others around the country that do or have. General number for me, I think there's about 10 or 12 big players with big money, big schools as players that pay money to get big recruits. And I think there's another 20 to 30 programs that will pay a little bit of money. And some of them are, you know, we've seen it with like Creighton, for example. They'll do it. They want to do it. But they're not paying the same people that Kansas or Duke or Kentucky are paying. They're not. And I know those schools aren't in trouble right now. The Nike schools aren't, which is surprising to me. Because if Kansas was offering money to Zion Williamson and he wouldn't come to Kansas and he went to Duke, what did Duke pay him? I've asked this question a million times. Nobody seems to think it's a fair question. It's a completely fair question. If Curtis Townsend said, whatever it takes for 9 months, we got to get him for 9 months. Whatever it takes, let's get him here. If his parents need a job, they need an apartment, whatever it takes, let's get him here. That's what they said about Zion Williamson. And he didn't get to Kansas. He went to Duke. If he went to Duke, what the hell did Duke pay him? Because he wasn't turning down money and opportunity from Kansas to go to Duke for nothing. That doesn't happen. That does not happen. So yes, when we generically say everybody does it, the teams that Kansas sort of recruits against, Kentucky, Carolina, Duke, we know the programs. Yes, they all do it. Yes, they all do it. And yes, Kansas is in more trouble than those programs, but Louisville got hit hard. Arizona's getting it. LSU's going to get it. There's plenty of schools that are getting it. And it was a very fascinating day to see the tale of two coaches on Wednesday. It was also fascinating in sports from a standpoint of the Los Angeles Police Department releasing the information on Tiger Woods' car crash. I'm not Columbo here. I can't tell you what happened. I don't know. We're all guessing. My wife said to me yesterday, she was kind of mad at me for another thing, but she said to me, she goes, you're just a hater. You want him to have done something wrong. I'm like, no, I'm not a hater. I'm not a Tiger Woods hater. I'm not. What I know is he's been in two previous driving incidents, and those were both awful. One, he got a window smashed out, drove over a fire hydrant, left in a rage when his wife found out he had about 30 girlfriends. The other, he was on prescription pills, completely wasted, and got pulled over and cited for impaired driving. In this third case, he nearly died because he hit a tree at 75 miles an hour. The black box in the car states that he was on the accelerator the whole way for hundreds of yards, 99% accelerator. It was floored. He hit the tree at 75. He was going 85. So apparently it slowed down a little bit when it careened off the road. That would make sense because your wheels wouldn't touch the ground and be accelerating. The police did not do a blood test. They did not check his cell phone. No warrants for either. Tiger Woods has no recollection of the incident, of the accident. There is no sign that at any point he hit the brakes. So, no speeding ticket here? No, nothing. Does he have to pay for damages? Does he have to fix the tree he broke? Does the sod he chewed up, the median he scraped, does he have to do any of that stuff? Is there anything for Tiger here? Can you explain to me if, and they're saying that he may have accidentally hit the accelerator instead of the brake. I've heard of this. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't. I've heard of this. Most people, when that happens, are distracted. They're listening to a song. They're on their phone. They do whatever. They kind of lose track of what they're doing. How does this happen for like 400 yards? I mean, he went forever through that turn, across the median, across two more lanes, down the road, over a curb, down through a ravine, and finally hit a tree. And the black box says he never hit the brakes. And Tiger Woods says he has no recollection of any of it. Oh, no, man. I'm not rooting or cheering for anything. We're clearly not going to find out. We're not going to know. But I will tell you one thing. It seems impossible for me to believe that somebody who had a good night's sleep, driving in the morning, beautiful, bright, sunny day, nobody else on the road, was driving 85 in a 45 and traveled that distance and never hit the brakes. That doesn't sound right to me. I don't know if it sounds right to you. It doesn't sound right to me. I can't tell you. I know. I'm not going to sit here and speculate. None of it sounds right. None of it sounds right. And maybe someday he says, oh, now I remember this. Or I don't think he will. There's just too much history with this man of things that have gone wrong for him to think that he accidentally hit the accelerator. I mean, I'll even accept he was tired and fell asleep or was distracted on his phone. There's a lot of things I'll look at and go, okay, I see how it could have happened. But I can't see a clear-minded person first thing in the morning after presumably a good night's rest or whatever, no impairment, no signs of impairment, driving 85 and a 45 through a turn, 400 yards, never braking, and hitting a tree at 75 miles an hour. I can't see that. I can't see that. I'd accept if they said, listen, he had a mild heart attack or some sort of a seizure. There's all kinds of things that I'll listen to and say, okay, it makes sense. What doesn't make sense is that an alert driver would do that. Unless it was if you're 98 years old and you're just not a very good driver and don't really know what you're doing or whatever, it doesn't make sense. It's just a very, very strange story, and I don't know what to make of it other than that. I it's not fair for me really to comment and say I think this happened or that happened, but what I don't think happened is an unimpaired alert driver doesn't remember anything about it and drove 85 and a 45 for 400 yards without hitting the brakes and hit a tree at 75 miles an hour. I don't believe that. I just don't. KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net. The only way to buy electronics is through BStock. Online at B as in boy, BStock.net. They now have a make offer function at BStock.net. Online, click the make offer on any medium range or high-end TV. Now is the time to deal. The 2020s have to go. 2021s are coming in. These are all brand new with warranty. If you don't want to use the website, come and see them. In Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road, and make a deal there too. Make them an offer. Walk to the outlet store, look at your upscale or mid-scale television and say, no, I think I'll pay you $100 less, and see what they say. And they're already lower prices than you get at Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's the only place to buy TVs or computer products. BStock.net and the outlet store in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, the jeweler you recommend to your friends and family. Mother's Day is around the corner. It's time to get mom something nice. Whether it's your mom or the mother of your children, Joslyn's is ready to help you out for Mother's Day. 95th and Antioch or online at joslynsjewelry.com. And Dad probably wants to make sure the roof is good. The last thing you want is a bunch of water coming in this spring when all the big storms come. It could happen after all the ice and snow that we had in the winter. Your roof could be in a position or a shape right now that you don't know it's in. If you've seen any ceiling spots, if you know your roof is kind of old and you haven't had it inspected, it costs you nothing to call Ron Buck and have them inspect your roof. It's a free service, absolutely free. 913-384-2680. Mention the podcast when you do, and the inspection is free. Who wouldn't want a free roof inspection? You can trust Ron that he's not going to come try to find stuff and upcharge you and scale you. Mostly what you hear from people who have done this, my friends have done it, he'll come out, they'll inspect the roof, and he'll say, looks good, here's the deal. You need a plan, because you're probably going to need a roof in the next 3 to 5 years. So start saving money, or you need a plan, or whatever it may be. and we'd appreciate your business if you call us back in 3 years. He does that every day. Every day, his folks go out and inspect roofs, and that's what they say. And, of course, that's what you want to hear, is that you're in good shape for the big storms coming. So call Ron Buck and get the free roof inspection, 384-2680. That's 913-384-2680. Anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, Buck Roofing is there for you. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fix the roof over your head. Well, we've learned more about the All-Star Game moving to Colorado. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, he just really, really screwed up on this one. Apparently, he single-handedly made the decision after meeting with voter rights groups, three different groups. Groups affiliated and associated with A, LeBron James, B, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and C, Stacey Abrams, the woman who came up a few votes short of becoming governor in the state of Georgia. Stacey Abrams is running around covering her butt right now in Georgia because a whole bunch of black-owned businesses and black people in Atlanta are upside-down mad that the All-Star Game is gone and the money they've lost out on, and they blame her. It is reported that she was most instrumental in this, but she is now saying she didn't want the boycott. She didn't want it moved. She wanted, this is what she argued. This is what she told Rob Manfred. Stacey Abrams, LeBron James, Al Sharpton, and their groups told Rob Manfred, if the All-Star Game stays in Georgia, players will boycott. You will have players that will not go to the All-Star Game in July because of this voter ID bill. That we are going to go to these players. We're going to find the liberals that are the best players in your game. Whether they're American citizens or not doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A lot of players look to avoid the All-Star Game. They're looking for a reason. In all sports, they look for reasons. I'm injured. I've got this. They'd rather have the time off than go do it, unless it's the first time or whatever. But people who are headed to their fifth All-Star Game, it's not that big a deal to them. Stacey Abrams organized this effort with LeBron James, Al Sharpton, and said, we are going to go to the baseball players, and we're going to poison them with this stuff in their head that they have to not play in this game or appear in Atlanta if you keep the game in Georgia. Well, now she's backtracking, and she's sorry they left. She says, I didn't mean for them to leave. What they wanted was a crap show, right? What they really wanted, and maybe Manfred, heck, maybe Manfred's conservative here. Maybe he circled back and said, I'm going to stick it to you. Watch what happens now. Maybe this is his way of sticking it to Stacey Abrams. You know, she's sitting there threatening, saying, we're going to poison the minds of some of these players, not all, some of them. And if you had, like, let's say you had six or eight players boycott the game in July and say, I can't go play there because of this voter ID law. And that isn't really the reason. They just did it because they thought it was good for their brand. They wanted to stay home with their family anyway. You know, whatever may be the case. If that happened, that would be the only story. Baseball would look bad. Georgia would look bad. It would be bad for the All-Star Game. All of these things are true. Maybe Manfred looked at that and said, okay, have it your way. We're going to Colorado. And now Stacey Abrams is the one answering questions and has people breathing down her neck as to why she just pissed away $100 million in Georgia. But clearly, she enlisted LeBron James and Al Sharpton to help, and it is now reported that it was a very simple thing. We will organize a group of players that will boycott your All-Star Game if you don't do something. And of course, the threat here of doing something was move the game. And I don't know how Stacey Abrams can now even remotely argue that she didn't want the game to move. She just wanted the All-Star Game punished somehow. Well, how do you punish an All-Star Game? What do you do to baseball? I think ultimately what she wanted was a crap show. She wanted the game in Atlanta for all the revenue, and she wanted to be able to be Stacey Abrams on stage in July running the crap show. Players boycotting, doing interviews, getting access, making a big stink about the state of Georgia. She wanted this spectacle. She wanted the game there so she could be even more famous. This is what she wanted. She wanted a circus around the All-Star Game. And I think Rob Manfred, and I've been really tough on Rob Manfred, and I still am. I think he did the wrong thing, and I think he should move it back. But maybe, this is given the benefit, I like to be fair. I always like to be fair. If there is a benefit of the doubt, and if there is some reasoning to what he did, he was saying, why would I keep the game here if I know this politician, when it turns this into a crap show? She wants to use my game for her benefit. She wants to organize boycotts by players and become famous for her own political gain. Maybe that's what he decided. If he did, I sort of understand it. He certainly has negated her now, hasn't he? And she's answering more questions than he is. Maybe the owners were in on it too. Maybe they said, we're not going to have a politician make a circus around our All-Star game. We're going to punish her. And the backlash from losing the $100 million is going to be on her shoulders, not ours. Maybe I'm thinking too far in advance and giving them too much credit. I don't know, but we now know, and there are reports, LeBron James, Al Sharpton, Stacey Abrams, all with organizations claiming they would organize boycotts by players of the All-Star game if it went on in Atlanta. And now she's running around claiming that she's upset that this is not what she wanted, and she's apologizing to black businesses in Atlanta for the $100 million that's lost. Yeah, that's on you, Stacey. That's your issue. You're going to run around threatening people. There's going to be repercussions, and it looks like that has happened here. Illegal aliens have been loaded onto Biden buses already since January 20th when he took office. That's 30,000. They put them on buses, and they're targeting swing states. They process them, and they send them largely to Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Florida. This is so easy to see what's going on. Open the borders, let them in. We will bus them to states that are swing states. They don't have the wherewithal to move to a neighboring state or whatever. We drop them in big cities right in the middle of the state, take them to Detroit, drop them off. This is your new home. Here you go. And they set up their families in Michigan. And when he gives amnesty, they will have voting rights. They will have voting rights in swing states. This is so un-American. Undemocratic and un-American. It is a disgrace to our country. There is a report this week that a little girl came through the border, 12-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl, a girl, not a woman, like preteen. And she was hurting and crying and suffering. And they tried to ask her what went wrong, and she couldn't hardly talk. Her voice was gone. So she couldn't communicate very well. And they asked her to write down what had happened because she couldn't talk. I mean, just her voice was gone. And she told them she lost her voice from screaming so much over the last month from being repeatedly raped and abused. That she would scream in horror and she would cry afterwards, and all of these things were going on for the last month. That's why she couldn't talk. Unbelievable. Just so Democrats can keep power. So un-American. So shameful. Biden buses. 30,000 have been sent to swing states already. How many will that be over 4 years? It's a brilliant plan. It is a brutal plan. It is an inhumane plan. It is a dishonest plan. It's an un-American plan. This is the stuff we used to go to wars and fight for freedom and democracy in other countries. We'd lose hundreds of thousands of lives fighting in other countries to protect them from this. And we don't do anything on our home soil to stop it. Shameful. Very disappointing. Your COVID update, there's more surpluses in our area again of vaccine than actual people that want it. We believe everybody in America, Joe Biden has said, by April 19th, which is not far away, everyone in America will have access to the vaccine. There will be no excuse at that point. If you don't get the vaccine and you're not vaccinated, it doesn't matter. It's just the masks have to be over. When we're vaccinated fully, it has to be over. Whatever percentage that is, it is. If you were the scared one, you're vaccinated, so you're good. If you're unafraid and still prone to getting sick or maybe even dying, that's on you. That's on you. Don't be out there. Get vaccinated. So it doesn't stop things from being canceled. And I think what we're going to see this summer now is things that are on and things that are not on are basically going to be cut right down the lines of capitalism. So we learned this week that the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival has been canceled again. Second year in a row. This was like the first thing canceled last year. Like, this was canceled the first week of April last year. Nobody was canceling anything yet, right? At that point, basketball got, this would have been like 3 weeks after the NBA shut down. They said, oh, we're not doing our festival in September. We're done. We're out. Well, it's 5 months away, but we're out. They shut this thing down. The Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, which I'm all for. I'm not going, but I'm all for it. The actors of the Shakespeare Festival are professional actors. They get paid. But this is a free festival. So there's no real revenue to it. This is, sounds like public broadcasting to me. You donate. You know, we have benefactors. Some highfalutin Shakespeare fans donate money. And we have a Shakespeare Festival. But it doesn't generate any revenue. We have to pay the actors. The actors, you have to pay them because they're professionals. And because they're professionals, they're in something called the Actors Equity Association. These are local actors in Kansas City at the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival in the Actors Equity Association that say it is not possible with COVID-19 for them to act. Their union, they basically got together and shot themselves in the foot and said, we're not going to act because of COVID. COVID makes it too hard. This summer, in June and July, it makes it too hard for you to act. The Actors Equity Association has shut down the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. I'm cool with this. This is liberal all the way. I mean, every actor, every person involved in this, there ain't nobody involved with the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival that's conservative. All right? So if they still want to be freaked out about this, I couldn't care less whether this festival takes place. Goodbye. You made your own bed. All right? You created a situation where you've got actors freaked out that you're supposed to pay, and they don't want to come work for money because they said COVID-19's still a thing. That's on you. You lost your festival. I don't care. The flip side of this is Escape to Margaritaville is on, which is a play about a bartender in Key West through the songs of Jimmy Buffett, and it will be on for a week at Starlight Theater. It's on. That's professional actors. It's a road company, a touring company. Starlight's going to sell tickets. They're going to make money. Capitalism wins. And guess what's going to be at Starlight for Escape to Margaritaville? A whole bunch of conservatives. The parrot heads are coming out. They're going to drink their beers. They're going to hear some Jimmy Buffett songs. They're going to enjoy a play. It's going to be fun. I didn't even know it was on. I didn't even know there was a play. I like Jimmy Buffett music. I think I'll go. I think it's maybe in August. I think I'll go to Starlight and see Escape to Margaritaville. That's on. You know why? Because capitalism works. And Escape to Margaritaville has ticket holders and fans that are conservative and don't care. And we're going to go see the show. And we're going to have a beer. And we're going to laugh. We're going to have a great night out. That wins. But your free festival with your union actors are going to sit it out for COVID-19 from the Shakespeare Festival in Kansas City. These things are so easy to predict. So it's so easy to look at them and say, why is this on and that's not on? Oh, okay, the Jimmy Buffett thing's on. Because they're incredible capitalists. God love them. It's a for-profit operation. They're making money on tour all across the country. Starlight's making money. Everybody's going. They'll sell tickets. It'll be great. Shakespeare Festival? Eh, not so much. And we'll finish with comedian Dave Chappelle, who I know of and I've not seen a lot of. I hear his specials are great. I know many of you will probably email me now and say, oh my God, he's so funny. And he'll say anything about anyone. Well, not really. Dave Chappelle was on a podcast, did an interview, and talked about we may have forgotten this 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the notes that were left behind in the White House for Donald Trump. Do you guys remember this story? So like in every room, the Lincoln bedroom, and then the so-and-so's office, and this bathroom, whatever, there were handwritten notes all over the White House when Obama cleared out on Inauguration Day and Trump's people came in. So they all go to work that day, and they see notes everywhere, little handwritten notes. You're a failure. This won't work. You know, Trump sucks. All this stuff. So it was a big story, not in the liberal media, but it was a big story that a lot of folks on the Obama administration that worked for him were denying that they left any notes behind. You couldn't really prove who they were from. It wasn't like people were signing them. They were just leaving stuff to agitate the Trump people coming in. It was classless and tasteless, and any president with any class would have made sure that that did not happen for the incoming president. But Obama didn't. He probably was in on it and thought it was funny. Dave Chappelle says he knows exactly what happened. He was on a podcast. He said it was not the staffers, but it became kind of a joke for all the celebrities at the end that were staying at the White House. As you recall, when Obama was president, it was basically Hollywood East. It was just filled with celebrities, comedians, rap stars, you name it. Didn't matter whether they had criminal pasts or whatever. They were all just Obama's buddies at the White House. They all got to come. They all got to stay. They all got to party. They all got to have fun. It was a big schmooze fest of the Hollywood elite. And apparently they all made little note cards, or many of them wrote little note cards. And Dave Chappelle says, oh, it was all celebrities. And it became a running gag, and everybody thought it was funny to leave these things behind. Now, they weren't all there the day that Obama left and ran around and placed them. Somebody had to orchestrate where to set the cards, whatever. But they apparently were, according to Dave Chappelle, were celebrities. But the man who's known for outing everyone and saying whatever's on his mind, Dave Chappelle will not name the celebrities that did it. He won't, and he didn't say he did it. He just says he knows what happened. Total classlessness. I mean, complete lack of class. You know, we talk about, I just spent a great deal of time on this podcast talking about Bill Self, you know, being in charge of his basketball program, and you're in charge, and because you're in charge, if something happens on your watch, you're responsible for it. How classless is it of Barack Obama that celebrities were leaving notes to heckle Donald Trump's staff when they arrived? I mean, that's just complete classlessness, and it is the most unsurprising thing I've heard this week. It does not surprise me at all that that happened, that it is confirmed that it happened. They called Trump's people liars. They're like, oh, that didn't happen. They didn't really send you. No, they didn't do that. This didn't happen. Oh, it happened. The Trump people kind of blew it off and said, big deal. This is petty and stupid, and went to work and rolled up their sleeves and did a great job for 4 years. And now we have found out that it was mostly celebrities in on a orchestrated ruse to leave these things, hateful things behind for Trump and his staffers. That's America. That's Barack Obama's America. Make no mistake about it. This is Barack Obama's America. Since the day he was elected, it has been Barack Obama's America. Trump happened because of Barack Obama. Barack Obama speaks with Biden, I'll bet, pretty much every day. They've admitted that they talk all the time. Barack Obama's running this country right now. He's orchestrating all this stuff. And Kamala Harris is the chosen one for him. And he can't wait to get Biden out and Harris in. And then it's really going to be on. It'll be unbelievable when that happens. Make no mistake about it. This is still Barack Obama's America. What happened for 4 years with Trump was because of Barack Obama. Barack Obama is defining everything that happens in America. Everything we see politically on a national scale is because of Barack Obama. Make no mistake about it. And he's the guy who allowed people to leave crappy notes to heckle and cajole Donald Trump when they entered the White House. Complete classless move. And I am the least surprised person on earth that that occurred and that celebrities orchestrated that ruse. Don't forget to hit the follow and like or subscribe button on the podcast. We are over 5,000 now followers. Very happy to hit that goal. Our goal is 10. So we got a lot of work to do this summer to get it there. We got to spread the word, let people know what we're doing here every day. And hopefully they will hit follow, subscribe, or like. It's free. That's all I'm asking is, and you get the notification when they come up. It helps with getting the word out. It helps with the number of downloads and the number of people listening, which is great for spreading the word and getting together as a community, which we're going to do at some point this summer. We're going to get together as a large group. I'll invite all of the listeners of the podcast to meet us someplace here in just a few weeks. We're going to get that set up. We're going to have a big outing. It's going to be fun. You're going to love it. I promise. You're going to love it. We're going to have a great time together, so we're looking forward to that. Help spread the word if you can. Tell people about the podcast and have them, if you do, hit the follow, subscribe, or like button. We greatly appreciate it. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.